today on Real Radio.
Everyone who is born again will stand before the throne of Jesus Christ, not the Father, and be given rewards based upon the works that we've done for him. Does our works encourage or better position us for salvation? Answer, absolutely not.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. So before we get into today's episode, Pastor Jack and I have something we'd like to tell you about. Hey, Pastor Jack, I understand you're going to Israel, and for the first time in almost 20 years, you want to open the trip up to the Real Radio audience. Can you tell us about that?
Well, it is going to be our annual trip to Israel, and it all begins on March 24th to April 4th, 2019. I'm telling you, Israel in the springtime, there's nothing like it.
So what are the dates?
March 24th to April 4th in the spring of 2019.
So what will we be seeing?
We're going to be going, first of all, to amazing sights. Of course, imagine this, actually going to the Temple Mount area of Jerusalem, the focal point of news today. We're going to be going to the Galilee. We're going to have Bible studies in key locations. We're going to be going to spots where Jesus literally walked. It's going to be an amazing trip.
Awesome. Can't wait. I hear that you actually go to those locations. We get a chance to open our Bibles and really get into the scripture regarding that particular place.
Listen, your mind is going to be blown and so will your heart, because we're going to stand in the spot with Bible open. And we're going to be receiving Bible studies. We're going to be going through the Word together. My good friend Amir Serfate is going to be joining me from Behold Israel. And we're going to have a trip of a lifetime. Listen, this will be our 17th trip to Israel. And I think you're going to benefit from the experience that we'll be bringing to you.
So tell me where I can get more information, would you?
Yeah, to do that, you would just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And you can click on the banner right there labeled Israel 2019.
So how do I go about signing up?
This is what's going to be fun. To sign up, you would go to our website, and the way we're going to do it, because we have a national interest, is that on August 4th, so mark your calendar, on August 4th, it's a Saturday, at 12 noon Pacific time, the website will open up for signups. It will be first come, first serve nationwide. It's going to be August 4th, 12 noon Pacific time, and there you can sign up online for our 2019 March 24th to April 4th tour of Israel. You will not want to miss it. Get more information by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. You know, that's going to be an incredible trip. So now let's jump into today's episode of Real Radio. Pastor Jack, in a message called A Witnessing Church Part 2, continues a series now called The Book of Acts. The New Testament book of Acts was written by Luke, who also gave us the Gospel of Luke. The book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church. It records the acts of the apostles of Jesus who were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and throughout the known world. In part one of A Witnessing Church, we learned in Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15, that we are God's witnesses through our words and by our actions. We were also introduced to the Apostle Stephen, a man so full of faith and power that no one could resist his wisdom. Now in part two of A Witnessing Church, we'll see in Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, that like Jesus, when Stephen shared the message of salvation, it was his love and assurance that overwhelmed the people. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Stephen was brought to the high priests in Jerusalem to be questioned regarding his message of salvation. And as he spoke with both knowledge and authority, Stephen referred to Old Testament scripture to defend his case for Christ. And now, in his lesson called A Witnessing Church, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You see, there's a lot of people walking around today saying that they know God. We were on the streets last night sharing the gospel with many of you, encouraging people to come to faith in Christ. And a lot of people said, I believe in God. My wife and I were sharing, we had our kids with us, and we were at this one part, it had become evident as we were sharing with these guys that they were either there gathered to either sell guns or to sell drugs. But it didn't dawn on us until we were basically done sharing with them. But I know God. Well, James tells us in James chapter 5 that a lot of people say they know God. The Bible says there that The devil knows God, and when he hears his name, he trembles. The word in the Greek means goose flesh, like turkey skin. A naked turkey, you know, on Thanksgiving, how lumpy he is. Pull him out of the oven or out of the refrigerator, he's all white, lumpy. The word in the Greek is goose flesh, just like that. Can you imagine Satan? When he thinks about God, according to James, gets goose flesh. Just thinking about it. Ugh. Well, a lot of people say, man, I know God, and they don't live after God. But there's a faith that you can have in God that will change everything. And Stephen is trying to preach with that in mind. That's his goal, is to get these people to come to Christ. And so we'll look at this sermon that takes up some 60 verses of Acts chapter 7. So why don't you turn there? We'll start in verse 1 this morning. We'll jump back in and look at it more closely. It says there, then the high priest said, are these things so? And he said, that is Stephen, men and brethren, fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. And he said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father had died, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. And God gave him no inheritance in it, not even a place to put his foot. But even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him as a possession. And to his descendants after him. But God spoke in this way, verse 6, that his descendants would sojourn in a foreign land, that they would be brought into bondage and to oppression some 400 years. And the nation to whom they will be in bondage, I will judge, said God. And after that, they shall come out and serve me in this place. Verse 8, then he gave him, that is God, gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. And we'll stop right here because this is a very important setup that Stephen is doing. And I want you to keep in mind, jot down in your notes all along the way, who is it he's witnessing to? He's witnessing to the absolute rule and reign of Israel outside of the Roman government, and that is the religious hierarchy known as the Sanhedrin. Sadducees, scribes, lawyers, not the lawyers that we know today, but students of the Word of God, the Old Testament, they're all there. And by the way, Bible students, mark this. This is Stephen's defense, and up until now, even in the book of Acts, there's been the sharing of the gospel to the nation Israel. And there's been systematic rejection of the leadership of Israel. The people are coming by the thousands. But it's the leadership. Those who are responsible, they will not listen. They killed Jesus. And they're going to kill Stephen before his message is ever over. And you know, Jesus told us at the start of this very study in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you shall be witnesses. The word is martyrs to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when Stephen dies at the end of this sermon that he delivers, God will now begin to withdraw his hand off of Israel and begin to go to the Gentiles, and he will fulfill that ultimately through Paul the Apostle, who is standing right in this crowd to hear this defense. My goodness, I wish we had a video playback of what's happening here. It would blow our minds. You could look across this room that's incredibly beautiful and intimidating and be able to say, my goodness, there's John. We recognize John, and there's Saul of Tarsus. Oh, look. He'll be born again, not too far from now. And he is in this crowd, and he will consent to the killing of Stephen. But the title of the message was last week and this week again, and shall be, as we go through this series, a witnessing church. What does it take to be a witnessing church? What does God expect of us? And what does God expect of you and I independently? I came across a situation. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of the late 1800s, in 1862, he commented on a great push of etiquette in London, England. And, you know, those people are so nice. They get in arguments, and they know how to argue. They argue with you so nice that you feel bad, you know, just because they know how to argue. They're just so polite. No, after you, you can call me a name. You call me a name first, and then I'll call you a name first. And it's like, not like us Americans who are very whatever. And Spurgeon was saying this etiquette push, it's ridiculous. And he was commenting because London, England predominantly was trying to get the people to be very moral without God. And one of the little rules that came out said this: approaching others regarding religion is both rough and rude. And how many people today would say, amen to that? I don't think we should talk about politics or religion. Well, you know what? I agree. Politics, why talk about it? It's worthless. Now, we should have prayer meetings about politics. And talk about religion? I agree. We shouldn't talk about religion. I'll be the first advocate to say, forget religion. Let's talk about relationship with God. That's the bottom line. And that's the goal that Stephen has to get these guys to come to Christ. Because if the Sanhedrin can be won to Christ, then it's all downhill. It's great. People will listen to them. They have a lot of influence. But concerning that little statement from the etiquette of London, Charles Spurgeon said, this etiquette of nowadays often demands of a Christian that he not open his mouth for Christ. Away with such etiquette. This etiquette is the etiquette of hell itself. For if I care and if I love my neighbor, I must tell him that his house is on fire. And there's only one way out for him, lest he perish. Isn't that true? I talked to a brother last service who lives in the Yorba Linda Corona area, and they had a fire there Friday. And he said as the hillside was going up, there was only one way out of their track. There was only one street out, and people were grabbing their stuff and heading that way. I don't care what your opinion is this morning about Jesus Christ. He is the only way out. And if you know that, if you believe that, then you will share with people. But you'll do it with wisdom. You'll recognize who you're sharing with, and you'll befriend them. Now, if it's not possible, like if you're on the streets and you're going to see that person for a moment, maybe never again, then let the love and the compassion come out that God has within you. You know, Jesus shared the gospel that way. It's amazing to me that people who were prostitutes and drug addicts and demon-possessed and IRS agents and stuff of that day and age. Now, don't write me a letter. I didn't mean you. When Jesus opened his mouth, people came to him. When the self-righteous smug people who thought they were not sinners but perfect, when they heard Jesus open their mouth, they hated him. And you know what? If Jesus came back today, you know who would be the number one rejecter of Jesus today? It would be things or places called a church. When Jesus would speak about how you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the church would say, no, 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 we don't believe in that. When Jesus would come and say, you're a sinner, you need to come and I'll give you eternal life, the church would say, no, 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 what you need is therapy. If Jesus came today and said, you know what, don't give your money, give your life, that's what I'm interested in, I don't care what you're wearing, I want your heart, people would say, no, no, you can't get in here without shoes on. Or if you don't tithe 10% a year, then what's wrong with you? That's sick. Organized religion is the number one destructive force against the work of God. You go out on the streets, or you go to your neighbors, or you look at your own life. And it's the love of God you want. It's the grace that you want. The only tough thing out there in the world right now is convincing people that there is somebody who loves them. They've been robbed, ripped off, kicked around, and made a buffoon out of. And people are so skittish about coming to Christ. We need to be so sensitive on how we witness to people. Stephen's a master at it because he's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But we can get into this etiquette thing that Spurgeon was concerned about. We can get so, what I wrote down in my notes, the culture of the Western world is so often offensively gentle. We don't see people in a house that's burning. Your house may be saved. You may be going to heaven, and your neighbor across the street, they don't know the Lord. And they're doing the best they can, but they don't know him. Consider their house on fire. 2 o'clock in the morning. What are you going to do? Fire! What are you going to do? Open your blinds and go, neighbor's house is on fire across the street. Hope they get out. And we do that spiritually, and it's going to be for eternity. We're so afraid. We're so gentle that it's offensive, I think, to the Lord. We're just like that. Somebody walks in, a guy's got a pink sock on and a black sock on, and we look the other way. We don't want to embarrass him, right? When we're doing weddings. Now, don't tell anybody this, because this is kind of, you don't want to mention this stuff in church. But when we're doing weddings, we get all ready, and I get ready, you know, and the guys are behind me, and we're hiding behind this little booth or whatever it is that we're hiding behind, and we're waiting for the cue, and we'll pray, and I'll say amen, and then I say, guys, check your zippers. And they go, oh my gosh, thank you. If you're going out there in front of 150, 250 people, you want to make sure that you're ready. And you want to make sure that nothing distracts from the bride and groom. And boy, those guys, there's guys walking around the county that are grateful for that bit of advice. A little embarrassing, they turn a little red. But it's just between us guys, you know? It's okay. People come in, somebody comes in, and we're so offensively gentle. I'm not into sharing Christ. And we carry that through a lot of things. People come in, they go, you know, there's like a booger on the guy's face. And it's like, oh, how are you doing today? And, oh, that's nice. How's the kids? Great. Okay. If we loved him, you know what? But we pat them on the back and we protect our own skin. Oh, man, I'm glad I didn't have to embarrass myself by talking to him about how embarrassing he is. If we love people, we'll gently tell them. But we've become so offensively gentle. Don't want to tell anybody anything. There's people out there waiting for you to tell them. They just don't know that they're waiting. They're longing on the inside. And as I was preparing for this, the Lord laid on my heart, because we're getting ready to do the street outreach. And one of the attributes of Jesus is, in the English, it is the word compassion. In the Greek, it means get under the skin. That's the word in the Greek. Jesus was full of compassion. And so I said, Lord, I want these people to get under my skin tonight. I want to feel them. I want to remember. And I thought, you know what? I have forgotten what it's like to be lost. How many of you have been born again for, say, 10 years or in the last 10 years you've been saved? Raise your hands. Raise them high. That's it? Wow. I have forgotten. And I sat back and I just kind of rehashed my life, thinking, before I came to Christ, I had to be around like a bunch of people. I had to have the stereo on full blast because I was so afraid of being alone. I didn't want to be lonely. So you go to the phone. Hey, what's going on tonight? Okay, great. We'll be there. What's going on tomorrow night? And it's like you're calling your broker. Hey, what's happening? Well, we got a party here. We got a party there. Party here. Party there. Great. You book your week. So you're not alone. And I remember waking up on June 23rd, 1977. It was a Tuesday morning. I was born again. And I woke up and I started talking to myself. Wow, I'm saved. I don't feel alone anymore. I'm not lonely. And I haven't been bored since that day. Isn't that funny? Before you were a believer, you couldn't dare be alone. You might see yourself. And now that you're a Christian, it's like you have to steal places and time to be alone with him. You're never alone. And the world is out there needing Jesus Christ, and Stephen wants to give it to them, and he's going to deliver the message, but they're not willing. They're not serious about this grace and this truth that's come through Jesus Christ. Verse 1, it says, then the high priest said, are these things so? And that's all the accusations of last week's message. This man, Stephen, we have found him to be speaking against the law and speaking against the temple, this place, the law and the temple. That's a lie. That's a lie. Stephen was saying, you know what? The answer's not in the temple. The answer's not in the law. That's all he was saying. Jesus said earlier that he was going to, that the temple would be destroyed because of them not receiving him. And sure enough, it shall be in this time frame of the book of Acts. But they read that as Stephen attacking the icons of their religion, the temple and the law that Jesus came to fulfill. And Jesus says, man, you guys are all twisted. You put so much stock into traditions. And man, I don't know your exposure to tradition. I had never had any exposure to tradition until I went to Russia. And it is the church and it is the priest. It's the icons and that's it. And that's exactly how the religious Jews were at Jesus' time. It was the temple. He spoke against the temple. Kill him. Can you imagine that? And Stephen's saying, it's not that. Relationship with God is not that. It's not going to go over well. Are these things so? Stephen, are you really saying these things? And look at his response. It's brilliant. That begins now in verse 2. And Stephen said to them, men and brethren and fathers, extremely respectful what he says. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. Now, these guys are extremely prideful about heritage, even to this very day. The Israeli, the Jews, very, very proud about their heritage. And you can see their robes stick up. Yes, yes, Father Abraham. Yes, keep going. It's our father. Remember how they argued with Jesus? Jesus said, if you were Abraham's seed, you'd believe in me. And they said, we are Abraham's seed. And he said, if you were, then you'd believe the works that I do. He says, you're not Abraham's seed. Your father's the devil. And that didn't go over all that well. But I have a funny feeling that when he said it, there was still that drawing, that longing, loving compassion that flowed out of his face when he said that, trying to get them to come around. Father Abraham, oh yes, they think instantly, oh, what a long line of glory we come from. Father Abraham, yes. And Stephen, in his smarts, under the Holy Spirit, goes to the touch point where they need to be brought to. Ah, I can relate, they said. If you're struggling with drugs and you want to get rid of that, who can best relate to you? Someone who's never experienced deliverance from drugs or somebody who has? If you're struggling with lust, who can better minister to you than someone who's experienced victory over that? Stephen is God's man to witness to these guys. He can relate to them. Every one of us, we're so much alike in some ways, and yet there are so many ways that we're different, and I can't minister to some of the people that you can share with. You're just like Stephen, if you're a believer this morning. You can go to places and touch people that none of us could ever get to. There's a realm of influence that God has put you in for an eternal purpose.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 2. Thanks for listening. And you know, sometimes we have to look at how much God has seen us through so that we can see how much He continues to move on our behalf. A Witnessing Church, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, I want to tell you about the Happening Now events on Facebook Live because, you know, there really is a lot going on in the world today, and Pastor Jack says that every church should be on a healthy diet of Bible prophecy. What the Bible says about the church can be a difficult topic to tackle, but thankfully, Bible prophecy is a passion for Pastor Jack. He really helps to break it down. And get this, you can even text in questions during the event. These events are very interesting, so you don't want to miss it. The next one is July 25th. That's tonight, 7 p.m. That's Pacific time. So be sure to tune in to Pastor Jack's Facebook page or go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org to get the link for the Happening Now events live on Pastor Jack's Facebook page. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.